And now for reading and writing and radio.
Days hath September, April, June, and November. Every good boy does fine. All cows eat grass. On old Olympus' towering top, a Finn and German viewed a hop.
The author of those various methods of remembering are unknown, but they could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Those bits I used for the opener are called mnemonic devices. Mnemonic meaning memory, things that stir your memory, that help you to remember. Some of them you probably recognize. 30 days hath September, that's how we can tell which month has 30 days, which has 31. Every good boy does fine, EGBDF, the lines of the staff, all cows eat grass, the spaces of the bass clef. You might not have recognized on old Olympus' towering top, and I'm not even sure I'm doing that one right, but when I was in college and took a biology class, there were 12 cranial nerves that we had to know for an exam. And our professor told us that when he had been in school, that this was the verse that helped them remember what the 12 cranial nerves were, optic nerve and so forth. And I remember the V is the vagus nerve because that controls the diaphragm, which makes you hiccup. I wrote a poem once containing a lot of these mnemonic devices, and I ended it up with these lines. The memory aids are with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. I saw a comic strip once where two kids were talking together, and one was saying, I'm having a test, and I don't know how to remember when Columbus discovered America. And the other kid says, oh, that's easy, just remember this verse. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. And then in the next picture, you see them meeting again, and the fellow that gave the mnemonic device says, well, how did you do on the test? He said, oh, I did just fine. He said, all I had to remember was in 1493, Columbus sailed the deep blue sea. So our mnemonic devices don't always work in helping us to remember. Today I'd like to talk a little about forgetting, which is the other side of remembering. Some people have very phenomenal memories and seem to remember all sorts of odd things. I know somebody that can remember telephone numbers back for years. I don't think he does it deliberately. It just sort of seems to be there. I'm sure that all of you have stories about times when you remembered something, when you forgot something. I guess my best story is the time that I was forgotten. I was about 14 years old, and my two older sisters and I had come up to Madison for our music lessons, and it was in the summertime, and my oldest sister was 18 and able to drive, and so we had come alone, and I didn't usually come up in the summer for lessons, but for some reason or other, I came along, and I had my lesson and sat out on the porch of the Wisconsin School of Music waiting for my sisters to come and pick me up and take me home again. The car wasn't there. I assumed that they had gone to do some errand or visit some friend and that they would be back for me. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited. And it got to be 5 o'clock and 5:30, and at that point, someone walked out of the School of Music, who was a friend of my oldest sister, and said, "Why, Jackie, what are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I'm waiting for Joanne and Patty to come back for me." And she said, "Oh, they left for Beloit hours ago." So then the question was, what to do with Jackie? And what happened, of course, was that my sister's friend said, "Come on home with me." So I went home with Phyllis Mickle, and I felt just mean enough toward my sisters that I did not telephone Beloit and say, "Here I am, safe in Madison, out at the Mickles' house." I didn't telephone at all. And along around 9:30 that night, there came a frantic call to the Mickles, "Does anybody know where Jackie is?" And it turned out that my sisters had not remembered me all the way home to Beloit, and all during the evening. I think my parents were away, because I do think my mother would have asked where Jackie is, but I think that we three girls were sort of on our own for that particular day. They didn't remember me until they heard my goat blatting plaintively outside, and one of them shouted out, "Jackie, go put your goat to bed." And then the two of them looked at each other and said, "Where's Jackie?" and remembered that they had left me in Madison. Well, that was really a good forgetting, because I stayed in Madison for the next 3 days and really whooped it up. The Mickles gave me a fine time and finally sent me home on the Greyhound bus. I asked my dad if he had any stories about forgetting, and his stories both center around forgetting by being absorbed in something else, which is, of course, a very usual sort of thing. When you get absorbed in something, you forget other things, even other things you want to remember. He was being paid a dime when he was a little boy for what he called tenting cows. He tells me that that probably meant tending cows, but that as he heard the word, it was tenting cows. And all he had to do was to sit up on the hill of the neighbor's farm and watch the cows and be sure that they didn't go into the corn. And my father was always quite a reader from a little boy on, and so he sat there on the hill having this easy job of tenting cows and earning his dime, and he read his book. He became so absorbed in his book that he completely forgot about the cows, and at some point looked up and discovered that there wasn't a single one in the pasture and that they were all in the cornfield gorging themselves on the corn. And he says he remembers rushing down that hill, screaming at the top of his lungs, and trying to round up those cows. He doesn't remember what happened to him after that. My mother told me of a story, which has probably happened to you in one form or another, that she was with a group of girls when she was little and decided to go to Molly's for a house party overnight. And there was one girl who couldn't come and promised to call my mother's mother and tell her, the mother, the parents, that Vera was staying overnight at Molly's. Well, the girl forgot. And so my mother's parents were just frantic when my mother didn't come home and were searching all over and had put the police on the case when little Vera showed up the next morning without realizing that anything was wrong and that anybody was worrying about her. She should, of course, have taken care of this matter herself, as I have told my own children when they say, "Oh, but I told Jill to tell you." Because so often there is many a slip twixt the cup and the lip when it comes to remembering, especially to remember other people's messages. And this often causes people anguish. A very famous story of being forgotten that many of you probably know is Jesus in the temple, that Mary and Joseph started back with their friends, and there must have been lots of people in the party, and they were a whole day out of Jerusalem before they began searching the other groups of relatives where they assumed that Jesus would be with his cousins and whoever else were his friends, and discovered that he wasn't there. And then, of course, the hasty trip back to Jerusalem and searching around until they found Jesus in the temple. I don't know how many of us have been left in the temple, but I know at least 3 or 4 people that have been left at filling stations. A friend of mine tells about her son, Randy, who was intrigued with some bears who were in a cage at a filling station when they were out west. and neglected to get back in the car when the rest of them did, and they had driven a considerable way down the road before the father counted noses and discovered that Randy wasn't there, and turned around the car, headed back for the filling station to find Randy trudging along the road in the direction that the car had taken. One of you wrote in a year or so ago about starting out on a family trip and giving all the difficulties of getting everybody rounded up and everything set and going off on the trip, and then after going a considerable ways, counting noses and discovering that the little brother was not there, returning home to find the little brother very calmly making peanut butter sandwiches in the kitchen, having accepted the fact that the family had forgotten him and that he was now on his own at home. There are books, of course, many a book that deals with forgetting. Back when you were in kindergarten or first grade, you might have read Little Bear, where the first story, Birthday Soup, is Little Bear deciding that his birthday has been forgotten, and so he makes birthday soup as the guests come, and the very last line is that Mother Bear comes in with the cake, and she says, "I never have forgotten your birthday, Little Bear, and I never will." And a similar book is A Wish for Little Sister by Jacqueline Ayers, which takes place in Taiwan or Bangkok or some such place, and her wish is to have her birthday remembered, and sure enough, it is at the end of the story. One that I remember especially liking when I was a kid, and it's a very didactic story, which means that it's preaching a lesson, but it was a darn good story, and I don't object to a lesson in a story if the story is good enough. It was called The Live Vase, and it was about a fellow named Lazy Tom, and he wouldn't use his arms to help carry water for his mother, and he wouldn't use his legs to help run errands for his father, and he wouldn't use his ears to listen to directions on how to do things, and he wouldn't use his eyes to look for the whatever it was that his mother had dropped and had rolled under the furniture, and he wouldn't use his brain to remember. He would always say, "I forgot, I forgot." And so the fairies decide that since Tom is such a useless boy that he doesn't need all these things, and they might as well take them away and use them for other things. And so they unscrew his arms, and they unscrew his legs, and they unscrew his ears, and they even take a bucket with a spoon and dip out his brains. And nothing is left of Tom. Oh, his eyes are gone, too. And nothing is left of Tom except this sort of strange thing that looks like a vase, sort of rounded at the bottom and sort of scooped out at the top. And so his parents say, "Well, Tom has never been very useful, but now he's a vase, and so we'll put some flowers in him." And so they pour some water in his top and put flowers in him and so forth, and there sits Tom being the live vase. But a little teeny-weeny bit of his brain has been left behind, and he begins to think with the brain. But some fairy sees a tear come out of his eye socket, or else out of his eye if he still has it. And so she takes off her own little tiny ear and screws it into Tom's ear socket and asks him what is the matter, and then he is able to say to her, because he still has his mouth, what is his problem. And so she gets from him the promise that, oh, if he gets all his parts back, he will surely use them all. And so she goes back and gets everything, and they bring them all back, including the bucket with his brains in it, which they very carefully scoop back into the cavity. And Tom is whole again, and after that, he never, never forgets anything that he has been told. Or so the story goes. And yet, we do forget. Often on these writing programs, I have asked you to remember. Today, this one is asking you to joggle your memories about times when you forgot. When did you forget something you really wanted to remember? Have you got any special mnemonic devices for remembering things that you want to remember? Have you ever been forgotten? How did it feel? Have you ever said, "I forgot," on purpose? Have you ever actually forgotten on purpose? When did your forgetting matter, make other people unhappy or concerned or change the course of events? When did you forget?
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio, Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.